Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
One of the biggest stories, or the main story, and we talked about this a little bit with Bray Shawnee, Mudge stands down as Kiwi coach after the New Zealand Rugby League ultimatum. So I thought it was all done. You know, he was happy to move on, and it looks like he's going to take over the New South Wales gig, but New Zealand Rugby League said...
Yeah, it's a strange one, and Braith said it when we did speak to him, and I get the same feeling, and obviously Braith probably has got a lot better mail than I do, but there's definitely a sense that he was pushed rather than stand down. It sounds like he's obviously done the right thing, keeping up appearances and sort of said that he's stepping down, but no doubt in my mind he's been pushed. After coming off, was it the biggest loss the Kangaroos have ever suffered? Arguably one of the biggest wins Kiwis Rugby League have ever had, to then push the coach out after that. I mean, it's a very, very strange one. And I'm a big believer in, I don't think you can do club coaching and origin coaching now. I think club coach is definitely 100% a solo gig. There's no doubt in my mind he could have done Kiwis coach and Blues coach at the same time. Do you agree or do you see
differently? No, I'm on the other side with one. Yeah, just being... I'm just looking at it from a purely a recruit, because one thing I think a lot of people, you know, wouldn't understand, or if you're not a younger player. So what happens is when you go through a process of you start to make your debut, specifically all the star kids, 16 to 18 in particular, they'll start getting recruited that early. Yeah. If they show promise, and that would be as simply as playing Australian schoolboys, playing Origin 16s, 18s, whatever the format may be. It's probably 18s, 19s, whatever. Yeah, whatever.
Changes every year.
Whatever it is. So what happens is for some players who grew up early in New Zealand, everyone knows the rules. You got to be at least moved to Australia by 13 years old. So, you know, if you're a decent player or for whatever reason your family moved to Australia a little bit earlier, there's some conversations to be had with those kids. And Madge is a stand-up dude, and this isn't a shot at Madge, but there is a conflict of interest if indeed you are recruiting a player to play for the Blues eventually.
Yeah, true.
Therefore, we are a tier one nation, and I'm talking about the Kiwis. They would be excluded from playing for the Kiwis forever.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like you can represent Samoa or Tonga and then eventually go, all right, now I'll go back and play for my country of heritage.
Yeah.
We don't have that freedom being a tier one nation. So it's only for a couple of cases, but some of those names could be huge. Like, if you look at a guy like Kalen Ponga, for instance, and Reece Walsh, he's got Māori blood, New Zealand Māori blood. So imagine how big it would be if we'd locked in Reece Walsh from 16, 17, and he's now, not after we just won 30-0 with a Herculean effort from Chance Nicol-Klogstad, but Reece Walsh in and amongst our best 17. So
far out.
Look, that's where I think it gets a touch tricky. And then again, also... and understanding, even though I'm a proud Kiwi, that Origin is the mecca of our game. It is the pinnacle of our game. It gets so much attention for 2 months of the season, in the middle part of our NRL season. And I just think, you know, over the years, we've seen, even Freddie just slowly get, you know, bogged down by all the questions, all the media. So... if you're going through all the stuff that Freddie had been through for the last couple of years in particular, and then he's got to refocus, and then somehow, just say he does coach New South Wales, they lose a series to Billy Slater in Queensland, and then he's got to refocus and then not only now beat that Queensland team, but throw in his best New South Wales players as well at the end of the year after not getting the job done for New South Wales, or even if it's the other way around, you're coaching against players that, you know, I feel like New Zealand have made the right decision, but also I just think Madge is going to do a great job for... I think he was the best candidate for New South Wales, and I think there'll be plenty of people putting their hands up for that Kiwis job for sure.
It's a little bit like, you know, gun, you know, key position or players that we all know they're so important to a team's success. The ones, the sevens, those sort of types, they're so rare. And the exact same applies to the coaching world as well.
Mm.
The Craig Bellamy's and Wayne Bennett's don't come around all that often. And I put Madge, like, he is an elite coach. I know he's probably been tarnished a little bit by the time at West Tigers, but
yep.
God, I don't know if, I'm not sure if Bellamy could have done a much different job there given the stock that he had.
Ivan Cleary?
Cleary, exact same deal. So I definitely put Madge right at the top there. And speaking of Freddie, by the end of that series, wasn't he? He was just, it didn't look like a more burnt out bloke in all of Australia. It just makes me, why would you ever want to be a coach in this? The scrutiny that they go under, and an Origin is even a different level because you've got a whole state after you when it goes wrong. Why on earth would you be a coach?
I felt so bad for him at the back end. What about, you're a proud Kiwi, aren't you, Gibbo?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Don't sit on the fence now, mate.
After that 30-0 win, he's a Kiwi.
Yeah, the day after the 30-0 win, you're texting me going up the Kiwis.
Yeah, now I've agreed with you the whole time through this scope. I get like Braith was sort of saying that he could have done both and he wanted to do both, but I just don't see how it could work. And to be honest, like, if you're going to be the Kiwis coach, that should be prestigious enough for you to, that should be your coaching. And I know, I guess I'm thinking that Madge is probably wanting to get back into the NRL at some stage, right? I'm sure he thinks he's got unfinished business. You go out there and do a job with the Blues, you're probably more likely to get an NRL role because you're back here in front of the media, you're winning games. I don't think he could have done both, and I agree with your point. But again, listening to Dylan Brown, and I took a lot away from that going a week early, going to visit the eyes, like trying to immerse himself in the Kiwi culture. I don't think he deserves to have to be given that ultimatum. But at the end of the day, I just don't think he could have done both. And to be honest, like, is the names have been bandied about someone maybe like Stacey Jones. Is Stacey Jones going to get the same amount as Madge did for this series? Because at the end of the day, Scope, as we're both proud Kiwis, we want to see them winning. And at the end of the day, whoever's going to make them win, I'm on board with that. And I'm not sure if Stacey Jones has got that same sort of aura as Madge does.
Yeah, Stacey Jones is a legend of New Zealand Rugby League. He was an ex-team. He was a young fella when I was telling the story about my dad playing for the Warriors. He's probably not the X's and O's coach that is required in this day and age, like a Madge. He's just one of those guys that you've got to have at the club or for international level. So if, you know, Stace was involved as an assistant coach and a halves coach, which he knows better than probably anyone in New Zealand Rugby League, I think that's the role for him. But I'm going to be intrigued to see who sort of presents themselves. A few names that have been tossed up. I think a lot of people back in New Zealand are keen to get a Kiwi back involved. But if you look at the success we've had, you know, whether it be Wayne Bennett assisting Stephen Kearney in the 2008 campaign that we shocked Australia with in the final up in Suncorp, or even Madge just getting the job done. It doesn't bother me if it's an Australian coach. I just want the best possible candidate that's available right now that is passionate, like a guy like Madge, who's willing to put in the work, go a week earlier, immerse himself in the culture, find out what, you know, how Kiwis tick and the traditionalist parts of being at a marae and whatnot. So I think it's going to be a highly sought-after position as well. Probably not to the level of New South Wales, where with Origin, you know, all those different sort of expectations come.
Do you think most Kiwis are on the same page as you regarding not being fazed with it being an Aussie? Or is there a sense over there that they want it to be?
I'd say that'd homegrown. Be pretty split. Okay. I'd say more Kiwis that lived over here would be open to Australians, just because we've been through the system. And like, in saying that, I grew up here from 3 years old all the way through. So the majority of my life have been coached by Australians. And when I say this, if the right Kiwi coach presented itself, like a Nathan Kalis, who's done his apprenticeship life after footy, going through the ranks, being assistant coaches at the New Zealand Warriors, I think under Brad Arthur at times for Parramatta Eels, he'd be a great candidate. And I wouldn't even be opposed to my ex-coach. I don't know, you know, if he has ambitions to ever do it again, but Stephen Kearney always did a great job with the Kiwis. I think he got weighed down a little bit when it sort of started turning into a full-time role, and he was still doing assistant coaching with trying to be a first-grade coach as well at one point. Yeah, we'll see what presents itself. Some other big news throughout the week. For the Knights, Jacob Saifidi extends for 3 more years. So they've got a couple of players off contract, specifically Bradman Best.
Yeah, and there were some Cole big Wynum. Numbers thrown around from West Tigers, I believe, for Bradman. But I think he's rejected that, and it looks like he's going to stay put with the Knights. I thought, for me, and it's on the run sheet, the biggest news for me this week, the source, Joshy Mansour, is retired from rugby league. Obviously played for the Newtown Jets this year. A storied career, so well done to the source. He's officially hung up the boots. You're saying off air, one of the great fellas.
Yeah, so I never had the pleasure of playing with the source, Josh Mansour, but his reputation around the league, one of the good guys, doing great work. Again, one of those guys, you do yourself a favour. He's hosting a podcast with Josh Adokar, Let's Trot. So respectfully to source, I thought he already was retired. I actually didn't know he was still running around. I thought he got retired, and this is respectfully when Nathan Cleary were putting up those torpy bombs to him a couple of years ago. It's our Sydney, but yeah, apparently one of the great characters. Yeah. And like I said, he's been doing a heap of stuff for the NRL and he's I think he's one of those guys that's got a fair bit going on. So congratulations to Josh Mansour. I'd say this is the one that's been the biggest news, and if it does indeed get done, just above it, West Tigers make a $4.5 million 4-year contract for Jerome Law. So just on that, mate, do you think that is the correct price? Where do you see Jerome Luai playing in 2024?
Well, he has to just take that. I think the ceiling that the Panthers got to with him was, did they get to 800? They might have at a stretch got his deal to 850 a year.
Yep.
Now he's well over the ones. What's that? A bit over 1.1 a year.
Yep.
Over 4 years. And the thing that he's got, obviously, on his side, he's got 3 grand final wins in the back pocket. He doesn't have to really chase success now. He doesn't really doesn't have to prove anything to anyone, I guess. So for a guy to completely set up his future, I think he's got a young family as well. This is just an absolute no-brainer. And I think there's no way that the Panthers, and you see how the Melbourne Storm have managed their list in the past. Penrith do the same. These teams are just too shrewd. They know what a player's worth is.
Yep.
And not worth in the sense, they've got to deal with salary cap pressures. So there absolutely has to be a ceiling. And I think for Luai, for them, how he fits into their structure and knowing how just big Nathan Cleary is first and foremost to that club, that 850 was the ceiling. So for me, it's an absolute no-brainer that he has to take that at West Tigers.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I wouldn't be surprised if that number even goes a little bit further just to get him over the line. When you think about him potentially staying, think about it for a couple of reasons. The one main reason and the one that sort of stands out, Western Sydney Junior, relationships, brotherhood. But in saying that, he's lost Stephen Crichton over the last this season and Spencer Linu, who is really close with him in particular. And the other one would be legacy. But what I was thinking about when I heard the news throughout the week, whether Jerome, like it'll be on his resume for the rest of his life, but whether Jerome wins, he's already got 3 in a row, whether he wins, he could win 4 before he leaves.
So this contract's for 25, and they're going to be favourites to win the comp next year
correct.
As well. So he could have 4.
There's a good chance he finishes 4, and if they're trying to re-sign him for 2 more years, if Jerome ends up winning 5 compared to 3, is his legacy going to be any different? Probably not, right?
Mm.
But if he goes to West Tigers, and if they make the finals next year...
Yeah.
Or in 2025 with Jerome Luai arriving, I think that speaks volumes for his legacy, even more so than potentially being a 4-time, 4-in-a-row, 5-in-a-row premiership winner at Penrith.
Yeah, right, because obviously they've got a lot of work to do between now and then. And the other thing, if he can drag them up and he gets them to a top 4, that's justified the money as well. It's clearly been a shrewd investment. So there's that angle as well. For me, definitely has to take it.
Scope, I guess last one on Luai. Do you think he has the ability to be the guy at a team, to be a halfback like Cleary is at the Panthers, like, all the genuine halfbacks are in the competition? Can you see that from Jerome Luai?
Yeah, I really do. I just seen only a small sample size controlling the Samoan team, and he's going to be a different sort of player. He's not going to be he wouldn't change his game so much where he's touching the ball as much as Nathan yep. Cleary does in some of the other halves. But one thing that you can tell he's got is in spades at Penrith Panthers is he's a vocal leader.
Yep.
So that might not necessarily be as much as just touching the ball so often, but just letting the boys know where they've got to get around on the field and being, like, I think one of his greatest strengths is being able to play Robin so well throughout his career and just sit back, play second phase out the back in most shape and manage to get the job done. So really intrigued. We'll probably have some more news on that.
I wonder what his Instagram post will be when he inks this when he inks the $4.5 million deal. There'll be something there. He'll have something in the back pocket, surely.
Yeah, he'll be ready to go. He'll be ready to go once he makes that decision. Another guy that's in the news who's only just recently become available due to family commitments and wanting to move back to Sydney, Adam Fanua-Blake has met with Gus Gould. This week it feels like Gus Gould doesn't have a meeting that doesn't get snapped. Does he have his own personal?
And there's always a lazy Susan involved as well. Yeah. Wherever he has a meeting, there's definitely some fried rice getting spun around the table.
The Bulldogs and the Dragons are leading the race for Adam Fanua-Blake. Shawnee, where do you see Adam Fanua-Blake landing?
Well, as a big Bulldogs fan, Scope, I would love to see him in the blue and white in a couple of years. It does, all the mail is, it sounds like it's going to be one of those two. It's definitely going to be a Sydney club that obviously narrows it down once again. And I wonder if, so the news that Siwa Takiao won't be joining the Bulldogs either seems pretty convenient. I know they did a medical and weren't too happy with, I think it was a knee maybe, don't quote me on that, but there was some sort of medical issue, but pretty convenient that they'll probably have a bit more coin in the cap for 2025, and that is the one piece, if I look back as a Bulldogs fan,
for sure,
the one piece of the puzzle that they are missing is some quality starch up front. And you look at the teams that are winning comps and challenging for comps: Panthers, fast, aggressive pack; Broncos, exactly the same. You put AFB in that Bulldogs side, and Matty Burton during the week has been getting a fair bit of heat as well, a lot of chat, they're going to move him to centre. And I think he was playing in that Panthers side at centre, obviously killing it, but he just hasn't had a full pack to play off the back of in the sixth jersey. If you put someone like AFB in that pack and he gets a bit more go forward and he's able to play fast off the back of that, he's a superstar. And I'd be shocked if Birdo doesn't play six next year.
I'm with you. Another, speaking of sixes, Matty Moylan, he leaves the Sharks immediately and he's heading to the Lee Leopards. Who just come off? They won the Challenge Cup this year.
Yep.
Yeah, they did too, with Adrian Lamb at the helm, and Lockie Lamb is his son playing for him as well. So it looks like there'll be a three-way battle between Braden Trindle, Dan Atkinson, and Cade Dykes for that vacant spot.
And I know the great Joel Kane speaks very, very highly of Cade Dykes. I think he's coming back from did he do his ACL?
Yep.
I reckon, Gibbo. So he's got to come back from a big injury. But the other fella as well, Dan Atkinson, he was doing great things for the Newtown Jets, signed a deal with the Sharkies. So they've got a bit of depth there. The Sharkies, who are, we got to call a spade, they're under a bit of pressure to not only make the finals again, but actually win a final. We know what's happened to them the last couple of years.
Yeah, they're just missing that last X factor, aren't they? I know a little bit about Cade Dykes as well. Sort of used to go, he was working at a gym, coming through high school footy and then going into the Sharks junior system. He's actually done, I believe he's had two major injuries. They might even be both ACLs in two out of the last 3 years. So he's just a guy that's just unable to stay fit at this point of his career, but trains the absolute house down, is fit as a fiddle.
Is he officially in the team, training the house down?
Training the house down. We've got to get, we need some footage. so we need to get Joel and Fletch to get on top of that. But he's a player with massive potential for sure.
And he made his debut, was at the back end of 22.
Yep.
Back end of last year, And we saw it in his debut. He had a huge game. So I think he's got you'd hate to see injuries holding back any further, because I think he could be a huge talent.